and drawing himself up to his full height, with his hand on his hip, wagging the hideous thing that was his head on his shoulders, he roared, "Look at me! I am Don Juan Triumphant!" And when I turned away my head and begged for mercy, he drew it to him brutally, twisting his dead fingers into my hair. "Enough! Enough!" cried Raoul. "I will kill him! In heaven's name, Christine, tell me where the dining room on the lake is. I must kill him."
"Oh, be quiet, Raoul, if you want to know."
"Yes, I want to know how and why you went back. I must know. But in any case, I will kill him."
"Oh, Raoul, listen, listen. He dragged me by the hair, and then, oh, it is too horrible."
"Well, what? Out with it," exclaimed Raoul fiercely. "Out with it, quick."
"Then he hissed at me. 'Ah, I frighten you, do I? I dare say. Perhaps you think that I have another mask, eh? And that this, my head, is a mask?' 'Well,' he roared, 'tear it off as you did the other. Come, come along, I insist. Your hands, give me your hands.' And he seized my hands and dug them into his awful face. He tore his flesh with my nails, tore his terrible dead flesh with my nails. 'No,' he shouted, with his throat throbbed and panting like a furnace. 'Know that I am built up of death from head to foot, and that it is a corpse that loves you and adores you and will never, never leave you. Look, I am not laughing now. I am crying, crying for you, Christine, who have torn off my mask and who therefore can never leave me again. As long as you thought me handsome, you could have come back, but now that you know my hideousness, you would run away for good. So I shall keep you here. Why did you want to see me? Oh, mad Christine, who wanted to see me! When my own father never saw me, and my mother, so as not to see me, made me a present of my first mask.' He had let go of me at last and was dragging himself about on the floor, uttering terrible sobs. And then he crawled away like a snake, went into his room, closed the door, and left me alone to my reflections. Presently I heard the sound of the organ, and then I began to understand Eric's contemptuous phrase when he spoke about opera music. What I now heard was utterly different from what I had heard up to then. His Don Juan Triumphant, for I had not a doubt but that he had rushed to his masterpiece to forget the horror of the moment, seemed to me at first one long, awful, magnificent sob. But little by little it expressed every emotion, every suffering of which mankind is capable. It intoxicated me, and I opened the door that separated us. Eric rose as I entered, but dared not turn in my direction. 'Eric,' I cried, 'show me your face without fear. I swear that you are the most unhappy and sublime of men. And if ever again I shiver when I look at you, it will be because I am thinking of the splendor of your genius.'